This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Good afternoon and happy Friday. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. It's about 57 degrees here in the city of Charlottesville. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. We'll continue to bring you live reports from CBS as they become available about the national security situation with this plane that jets brought down at JFK. Hoss Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook. He joins us on Friday afternoons live in studio. Good afternoon, sir. It's good to see you.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
So, you just left the downtown mall.
I did.
And you have a what we would call in the news business an eyewitness report.
Of nothing, no.
Of people standing in line.
But wait a minute. Did somebody just say planes brought down? There were no planes brought down.
They escorted a plane that was traveling from London to
But we got
to Chicago.
Okay, but the plane.
They escorted the plane to JFK.
Right, but I'm just saying, when I hear the term planes brought down, that conjures a whole different...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, let's clarify that for the listeners, shall we?
They escorted a plane from the sky to the ground.
Okay, now the panic can cease.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and according to the Newsplex, the rally here in Charlottesville is still on, despite this threat to national security that caused Obama to make a very rare... statement.
Afternoon public appearance. Yeah, we carried that live in the first hour of this program. President Obama, speaking from the White House briefing room, spoke to the nation just about an hour ago, about 50 minutes ago.
Yeah.
About the situation with, in a nutshell, they found explosive materials in some packages on a plane coming from Dubai. The packages were headed to a Jewish places of worship in Chicago. That's the latest.
Yeah,
report.
A headline from the Christian Science Monitor asks if it was kind of a terrorism test run.
Ooh, just an experiment.
An experiment to see if you can get through security and get your lethal package where you need.
Not getting through today, it looks like.
Hopefully not. But let's go back to the more happy excitement that we are all witnessing, those of us who are working on the downtown mall.
Yeah, but this is something you said earlier, because a lot of people have been calling in wanting to know this. The president has not canceled his appearance in Charlottesville tonight.
No, and
despite this situation.
And the Newsplex is reporting that not only is he not canceled, but he's
reconfirmed.
Kind of reconfirmed. So that's correct, that's an encouraging sign.
There you go. So what did you see, Hoss Spencer, just a few moments ago on the downtown mall?
Well, I saw all kinds of exciting things. It's like a carnival out there. I mean, it's a beautiful fall day in Charlottesville. The temperature is nice. The sun is shining. Obviously, it's going to get colder tonight. And the crowd...
Freeze warning tonight.
Yeah, but the crowd that I saw was dressed warmly. They were quite disciplined. No cutting in line that I saw. And they were...
Not like a deadhead, kind of Grateful Dead crowd?
No. And people of all camps seemed to be in that line. Their president is in town, and they're excited. And hopefully they'll all get in, because we're talking about a waiting line that stretches from the Charlottesville Pavilion down
the entire
length of the downtown mall, and then continuing past what we can think of as the end of the mall at the Omni Hotel, going up to Water Street, and then curling around the Ice Park, which is now called the Main Street Arena, and then moving back down almost toward the Landmark Hotel.
Holy cow.
So
the line's going to eat itself.
Well, it finally started to move about 45 minutes ago. And so I believe that the first lucky citizens or hardworking citizens are getting in. In fact, when I was walking to work this morning, I encountered a group of 9 Western Albemarle High School students, one boy with a guitar and 8 girls, and they were just having a good old time.
They're making a party of it.
They're making a little party of it. They were first in line. They said they had been there at 7:30, and by the time I got there, it was actually a little after 9 actually, right about. And they were just in a great mood and happy, and their friends joined them. I went and checked on them again later this afternoon, and I was like, wait a minute, I counted 9 earlier, and they were like, 30 or something. They said they had the full permission of their government teacher to skip school today.
Yeah.
Not that really government teachers have the right to issue such hall passes, as it were, but...
We're talking live with Haas Spencer. It's 15 minutes after the hour of 5 p.m. here in Central Virginia. We're under a freeze warning tonight. Starts at 2 a.m. and runs through about 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow, but very cold tonight. Keep that in mind. Your critters, your plants, going to get down, chance of getting down to about 30, 32 degrees this evening. Undefeated Louisa will play Monticello tonight in high school football. We'll have a pregame for you starting at 7. And the game kicks off at 7:30. I would imagine that's going to be chilly. So are you going to be there tonight to see the president speak? What is this exactly? Is this just a, hey, let's get excited to vote for Tom Perriello rally?
Well, basically it is, but whenever...
I'm sure he's going to talk about this national security thing.
That'd be great.
He's going to have to.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this. If I worked for the guy, that probably wouldn't ever happen, but if I worked for the guy, I'm not so sure, and I would recommend that he come down here tonight. Should the president leave his post to go politic and campaign when there's a national security issue that's ongoing and still hot?
Well, Coy, look at it this way. This is not Twin Towers burning. This is an intercepted package. The authorities did their job. They caught the threat. And, you know, if there were bodies on the ground, maybe it'd be different. But It's an exciting time for Charlottesville. People are just swarming the downtown mall area, and even people who are on the other side of the political spectrum are enjoying this opportunity to debate the issues. Up in Lee Park, which is on Market Street, there were I saw kind of a coming together from two different people who were from different sides of the political spectrum. There was a rally going on, put on by Americans for Prosperity. But
their bus broke down today on the 250 bypass.
Is that right?
Yes, it did.
Americans.
The American Prosperity bus was defunct. I saw it being hooked up to a tower.
Well, it's quite.
So what did you see? Americans Prosperity. They were.
They were having an event, and there were a lot of fiscally conservative people at that Lee Park rally. But I also saw David Swanson, who is
a regular guest on this program,
a hardcore liberal.
Yeah,
he was shaking hands with Randolph Byrd, and they were talking about how they're both opposed to the certain things.
Yeah, there's a lot on which they agree that doesn't get in the media enough.
Yes.
But that's true. How about that? So right now, as we speak, downtown Charlottesville going a little nuts.
Yeah, and... Now, there was also somebody who I'm not really familiar with, but maybe some of your listeners have seen, a Fox News reporter named Griff Jenkins was in Lee Park when I was in Lee Park.
Huh.
He's kind of like the poor man's Colbert, I think, or the, something like that. I don't know.
I'm not quite sure what that would be.
I don't know. He was interviewing people, and he looked pretty sharp.
Did he interview Hall Spencer or The Hook?
He really didn't, but I took his picture.
Oh, it's up, Griff Jenkins, Fox News, what you... I'm the poor man's Colbert. What's your read on this evening's events here in Charlottesville?
I'm going to suffer for that one.
Tom Perriello was on the Colbert Report.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, but he wasn't in studio. He was just like standing against some backdrop somewhere.
Well, he's got a lot. He's doing this whirlwind of campaigning in the final hours. Actually, one Republican strategist remarked to me just an hour ago that he had never seen such a good campaign. Now, maybe this was a touch of magnanimity, thinking that his side was going to win.
Yeah.
But the Perriello campaign has been independent. He has differed from his president on several key areas.
Well, like most Democrats running for re-election right now, very few of them are standing with Obama right now.
Right. But yet willing to have Obama come and make this final push, and willing to... be aggressive on the issues, and if Perriello loses the seat that he won in a surprise election 2 years ago, it won't be for lack of a good campaign.
Yeah. We spoke with Quentin Kidd, my friend, a political scientist at Christopher Newport University, and he said he wouldn't put any money on Perriello, given the district being, you know, it was carved out as a Republican district. They specifically carved it out so that the likelihood of a Democrat winning here would be slim to none. That said, he did say, though, that from the numbers that he's looked at, that Perriello actually could win if you see a very high voter turnout from Charlottesville. He said there's enough votes in there to actually help him win. The question will be, will they vote?
Right, because the South Side, which is suffering from very high unemployment and already has a very conservative outlook on the political spectrum.
From which Senator Robert Hurd, his opponent, hails from Chatham.
Right. They may not be as disposed to vote his way.
To vote for Perriello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they you know, they blame...
Some of them will, you know.
There may be some blame for Perriello for voting for the stimulus package, for voting for TARP, for attempting to pass cap and trade, and even for what's going on in Charlottesville tonight.
But no blame for Republicans for, helping to pass laws that pay companies to take jobs from South Side to China.
Oh,
that doesn't come up.
You always point these things out.
I like to point out both sides, Hoss.
I could think.
Yeah. We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook. It's 21 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock, and this event is scheduled to start when? On roller skates? What are they doing? What is this?
They've never actually, to my knowledge, revealed an actual start time for the president's speech. I don't know if that's a security measure or what. We've been told that Air Force One touches down at Charlottesville Albemarle Airport at 7, and one would surmise that the president will speak somewhere between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, but there's a little conjecture in that when I say it.
Yeah, we don't know exactly when. But so there's no hard start time for the event as a whole, not the president's remarks, but...
They early on, they said that...
You know, the opening act.
Gates.
The bad comic kind of thing. Yeah, when does the bad comic go on?
I don't know. But the gates did open by 5. They may have even opened before 5, which was the promised opening time. Because I saw that line really moving forward, and unless it was just a surge,
yeah,
I believe people were able to get in there. And you may have seen some people on the mall bearing these blue tickets that the Perriello campaign distributed. Those were sort of the...
Is that like the golden ticket?
The golden ticket from Willy Wonka.
You get a tour of the candy factory.
Well, you don't have to wait in line that stretches half a mile. You show up at the bus transfer station on Water Street and stroll in at 4.
That must be nice. Either that or no one of those kids sitting up front in that line this morning.
Those kids were very sweet. They actually, I had my picture taken with them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I'm like, why do you want my picture? And they're like, I don't know, because you took our picture.
So besides addressing this national security issue, which one would think he would take a few moments to talk about that tonight.
Yeah.
Assuming now he's still coming.
Which,
according to the Newsplex, the White House has reconfirmed his appearance tonight. So he is coming, but what else would you expect his message to be tonight? Just the standard, like what he had to say on The Daily Show? Get out and vote Democrat?
I guess. I remember when Doug Wilder came to town and was asked why he was supporting David Toscano and Kay Slaughter, and he clearly hadn't been briefed on, you know, like what their positions
David
were.
David who?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He just... It was great. He gave some sort of off-the-cuff thing to NBC 29, which was the only TV station in town back then. This is like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he said something like, I know that they stand with me as new Democrats. They're for inclusion, not exclusion. And one of the candidates ended up putting that in their in one of their advertising materials. And I thought that was really funny because I had seen the original video of him going, you know, like quickly pulling that one out of his hat. And
he didn't know who these people are.
Yeah, it was a funny moment.
That's funny. They stand with me. They love America.
That's right.
Yeah. They want to do what's best for America. Yeah. Callers, Hawes, we have some callers wondering if the president will be traveling to Charlottesville tonight on Air Force One or Marine One. Marine One, the helicopter?
We were told that he was traveling on Air Force One, which is the big 747 with the blue paint job. And a lot of people were surprised by that because, as you know, Charlottesville Albemarle Airport is in the midst of a runway lengthening operation to create not only a larger safety zone at each end of the runway, but also some of the regional jets are having trouble taking off in hot weather But what's interesting, and a lot of
why hot weather as opposed to cold weather?
There's some problem.
Harder to get it up when it's hot. Is that it?
There's some problem with the lift, Coy. Yeah, but what a lot of people don't realize is that the Charlottesville Albemarle Airport, whose runway is something like 6,001 feet long, is already sufficient to land and take off a 747, which the president rides around in.
Yeah. About that.
But yeah, to answer your question, there was
Air Force One, not the helicopter.
Not the helicopter. There, when I was standing near the pavilion about an hour and a half ago, a green helicopter swept over a couple times, causing some whoops of joy and anticipation from the audience. But I don't know what helicopter that was. It did not look like Marine One. It was a kind of a more Kelly green color than that sort of cool,
like a military kind of
military
thing.
Green. That
did you see any security folks out there? The what's it called? The detail that gets in there ahead of him and
the advance team.
Yeah, advance team. You see that security guy setting up down there? Like,
well, you know, if the advance team is smart, it probably doesn't wear the fedoras and the black overcoats like they probably used to.
So they're harder to see now.
I would hope as a citizen that they are more stealthy and trying to fit in with the crowd. I was a little bit amazed. I have access to a tall apartment building near the scene, and I was checking, and they had not been scanned for, you know, any kind of threats, which kind of gave me the creeps.
Yeah. That they weren't checking out the tall buildings around
there. Yeah. I want the tall buildings checked.
Yeah. We're going to have more with Hoss Spencer when we get back. We'll talk about the history of presidential visits to Charlottesville, that and more in just a few moments. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Hoss Spencer is live in studio. He's the founder and editor of The Hook, online at readthehook.com. And just a few moments ago, arrived here from Charlottesville's downtown mall, where the line went, what'd you say, went down the downtown mall. Well, I guess not anymore. They're being let in, so it's moving. Right. The snake is moving, as it were, down into the pavilion. I don't see how you get how many people that pavilion hold. Those people can't get in there, can they?
You know, I forget. Depending on how the pavilion is configured, the attendance is something like 3,500, give or take.
Oh, really? That many?
And I believe that includes the
wow.
Yeah, the grass.
Yeah.
You know, the lawn.
The lawn, as they say. We had a caller, Hodge, actually more than one, that wanted to remind you that no matter what plane the president is on, that plane will be known as Air Force One.
Even if it's a Piper Cub? A Cessna?
I think so. Because when they get on the microphones and say who they are, if they have the president with them, they are Air Force One.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So there's no like plane that's officially called Air Force One.
You are absolutely correct. It's just that the standard Air Force One is, in fact, a 747.
Yeah. Is it 747, 757? What number are they up to now? 787 or?
There is.
Where are we with
that
now?
There's a 757 and there is a 787 that's currently under development.
Is that the bus? Like the double-decker thing? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Oh,
yeah.
No, this is not a double-decker. The 747, to the best of my knowledge, is the only double-decker. Now, maybe one of your callers can call in and correct me on that.
You ever been on one of those double-decker airplanes where you go upstairs to like a lounge or something?
You got to have some sweet tickets to even go up the spiral staircase to that
lounge.
That's
what I'm talking about. Have you ever been, though?
I have been.
I never have.
I've been across the pond in a 747, but I was not invited up the spiral staircase.
Life is better up the spiral staircase.
I'm sure. They're probably joining the Mile High Club up there.
Is that what they're doing? Hey, Hodge, let's.
If you pay for a ticket like that, you'd expect to get some privileges.
Like you'd expect something a little bit deluxe. I was speaking with the incomparable Chris Callahan the other day.
Yes, sir.
And he gave me the rundown of the history of presidential visits to Charlottesville.
Oh.
Now, this is very fascinating. Going back to FDR. So here we go. Starting with FDR in 1937.
An iron curtain has been drawn. Oh, no, that was Churchill, right?
Yeah. FDR spoke at Monticello for their July 4th ceremony in 1937. This was, of course, before the naturalization part of the July 4th ceremony. They didn't start that until 1963, the naturalization part. So he's just in town, you know, happy birthday, America.
Yeah.
He came back 3 years later on June 10th, 1940, and that's where he made his famous dagger speech in Memorial Gymnasium.
Oh, that's the one. Okay, yep. Tell me about that.
Well, there was a downpour, so they moved to the graduation ceremonies from the, they would have them sometimes in the amphitheater and then on the lawn, but they moved it into Memorial Gymnasium. The president arrived by train, got in a car, went up to Mem Gym, and his son was graduating from the law school that day. And he gave this very memorable, historic speech. This was the first time that the president of the United States gave any indication that the United States was definitely going to get involved in the war in Europe.
Right here in Charlottesville.
Right here in Mem Gym at UVA Gym. In Charlottesville.
Which,
yeah.
Do you know what Mem Gym is now the home to?
I don't.
What do you think? Just guess.
A basketball court.
Nope. I mean, it might have a couple of hoops still up, but its primary purpose today at UVA is women's volleyball.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought volleyball got their new sand pits down there that are always busy now.
Yeah, those sand pits that you're talking
about. They're very nice. I put my toes in that sand.
Did you really?
I certainly did, yeah. They're very nice.
Yeah, well, the sand pits are just an adjunct that's to just draw traffic from University Avenue. Literally, it was a PR move designed by some business students to augment the visibility
of the
volleyball team.
Is the volleyball team good?
I don't think this is one of their best years, but I don't have the score and the roster right in front of me.
You know, the sad thing about sports at UVA is football and basketball, which, in all fairness, they're not that great, but they get uber attention from all sorts of media.
Yeah.
And yet you've got so many other sports and athletes at UVA who are among the very best in the nation, and they get next to no press at all. I mean, you go down the list, the rowing, the track and field, the baseball, the lacrosse, the soccer. They're fantastic. And they get, people are like, oh, yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
That's not right, Hoss.
Maybe they don't have as good a tailgate parties.
Like, is that what it is?
I'll go to the tailgate party at Scott Stadium, and then when it's game time, I'll be like, I'll meet you inside. Yeah, that's it, inside.
Next thing you know, you're walking down Ivy Road.
I'm walking down Ivy Road. I'll do the same thing at a concert.
Yeah, you'll just take off.
Yeah.
So FDR gave that speech June 10th, 1940. That was the second presidential visit, at least since FDR.
Okay.
Clearly, Jefferson made a few visits back in his day.
You think?
And then for the next one, you got to jump forward to Truman, who came on July 4th, 1947, again, to speak at Monticello for July 4th before they had the naturalization.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't start until 63. So Truman is there, and Chris Callahan was at that event.
In 1942, what?
1947. He's 5 months old.
Shut up.
His dad's in law school, and his mother took him there.
No way.
As a baby to hear Truman speak.
Oh, give me a break.
1947. So then you got to jump up to July 5th, 1976. Gerald Ford came to speak at Monticello for the bicentennial. He could not speak on the Sunday July 4th, because obviously he was booked.
He was very busy with the Beach Boys or something.
Yeah, and so, but Monticello really wanted him to speak for Bicentennial, so they delayed their Bicentennial celebration until Monday the 5th. So Ford was here for that.
Nice.
And I imagine they would have had the naturalization then, because that started in 63. So then the next one is Bush came. And
which Bush?
Fire Chief Charles Werner told me about this.
Which Bush? Which Bush, Coy?
VP Bush 1.
Okay.
41, not 43.
Okay.
He came in the spring of 81, right after the president was shot.
Mm.
And I think he was here for graduation. He came in on a helicopter, which landed over by Scott Stadium. And Chief Charles Werner says that it didn't get much media attention. It was not a big media event, but that he was over there helping out with security and all this kind of stuff. And so the VP was here right after that shooting of the president. Bush also came back in September of 89 for his big education summit, which included all 50 governors.
Well, it's always been said that only 49 showed. I forget which one was absent.
Well, probably Hawaii. That's a long way to come.
Maybe. And that was the one where Bill Clinton was making long-distance phone calls from his hotel room.
Get out. No, what?
I kid you not.
What?
He made like an over an hour-long phone call to a woman who was not named Hillary.
Really?
He made a pair of phone calls for which he later reimbursed the taxpayers, I think, a little bit over $40.
Really? So he's governor of Arkansas, hanging out in Charlottesville. Where's he staying? Do we know?
I believe it was the Boar's Head. I believe that's where they all stayed. And but it was also, according to Kathleen Willey, where the two of them first met at the Kluge Mansion.
Really?
Yeah, that governor's education summit was kind of a watershed event in the fox-chasing world of Mr. Clinton.
Speaking of Mr. Clinton, he came to Charlottesville again in January of 93 to kick off his inauguration events.
That was intense.
Were you there for that?
I was so lame. I should have been.
Were you on the bus sitting between Bill and Hillary?
Pass
Bill this beer.
No. Actually, I saw Bill, part of Bill's inaugural tour up in Warrenton, which is why I didn't go to the Monticello event. To go to the Monticello event, you had to get up there like really early in the morning. I remember seeing Katie Couric up there doing that Today Show first top of the morning.
Yeah, kind
of
At Monticello. And for folks who don't know, they basically just got, that's where they started, and then they went from there to Washington for the inauguration, right?
Right.
This bus caravan kind of thing.
Right, and I caught them in Warrenton, which of course is like 2/3 of the way up the highway.
Did you flag the bus down? Hey, there's Hawes. Pull over, Bill. Hey, yeah. Hawes.
I had a good seat in a little cute little commercial building overlooking kind of the main drag of the town where he spoke.
Oh, there you go.
That's cute.
So that's Clinton in 93, and then the next was George Bush, 43, Bush the younger. He spoke at July 4th in 2008, the naturalization ceremony for Monticello, made very famous.
Because there was like almost a shoe-throwing incident. People were just going berserk.
People did everything but throw the shoe, didn't
they? They really did.
Yeah, that was noted for its protesters.
Yes.
Which were unprecedented at these Monticello events.
A lot of protesters.
Yeah. And then the next one was... exactly, what is it, 2 years ago or 3 years ago tonight, when presidential candidate Barack Obama spoke at the Pavilion in Charlottesville, and now 3 years to the day, he's speaking here tonight.
Isn't that amazing?
As president. It's amazing. It's a little weird.
And when he spoke, he set an attendance record. This is the last time, 3 years ago, he set an attendance record of just over 5,000 people. So... I guess that would be the operative number that we're dealing with tonight.
That's about how many people you can squeeze in.
I saw so many people in the downtown mall. I can't say whether they were 5,000 or more or less, but it looked like more, I got to say.
More tonight.
You know, I just don't know.
Because you're not going to see a presidential candidate with a lot of buzz factor. You're going to see the president of the United States on the downtown mall.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what party you are. That's a big event.
That's a big event. The town is buzzing.
Yeah, buzzing. What's that buzzing sound like?
Yeah, it just sounds like smiling people looking forward to seeing their president. And
good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. We're talking with Hawes Spencer. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got about 11 minutes in front of the hour of 6 p.m. here in Central Virginia. It's about 56 degrees in the city of Charlottesville. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Skyrockets in flight. CBS News at the top of this hour will bring you the very latest about the national security situation with the plane bound for Chicago that was escorted safely to JFK instead when it was confirmed that explosive materials were on board headed for places of Jewish worship in Chicago. We'll have the very latest for you from CBS News at the top of this hour. President Obama due to speak in Charlottesville this evening. No hard start time. His plane is set to arrive, Air Force One, scheduled to arrive at the Charlottesville airport around 7 p.m. The White House has reconfirmed that he will be appearing this evening despite the national security situation with which the White House has been dealing most of the day. They were alerted about this situation last night, so they've been dealing with it all day. But he is still expected to be there tonight for this Democratic rally for Congressman Tom Perriello, the GOTV effort, we call it in the business, the get out the vote effort. So there you go.
Yeah, I was looking at Larry Sabato's crystal ball a day or two ago, and He's giving a narrow edge on this race to Robert Hurt, but it'll be interesting to see whether this last push can tighten things up.
Yeah, it is going to be very, very interesting. What else is going on with you? Hoss Spencer of the Hook is live in studio. You got any big? You're going on. You're going to be there tonight. Are you speaking with the president tonight? Are you you part of the warm-up act?
Negative, boy. I walked by the pavilion first thing this morning, and it was strangely tranquil. They've erected a set of bleachers behind where the president will speak for the VIPs, of which I am certainly not one. And
So it's going to be that human backdrop.
Yeah, a human backdrop.
Where they all, whenever they did that with Bush, it always seemed like they had like, there's the Asian person, there's the African American, there's the soldier. That, you know what I mean? They always had him sitting like carefully arranged around him to frame him.
That's probably not a dumb idea.
I wonder if they're going to do that tonight. Excuse me, ma'am, can we move you over here?
Yeah, if you just had a bunch of like drooling ninnies, that wouldn't really be too good. I'm amazed though, watching local television, every ad that appears is for Robert Hurt or Tom Perriello, or it's put on by some of these PACs, these political action committees that are interested
and
in swaying the election.
Ever since the Citizens United case, of course, there's more and more and more and more,
more
of these people who say, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but if you vote for a Democrat, you're going to bring the world to an end. You know, those kind of groups. It's very interesting what's happening.
Yeah. So coming up next week.
Will be the week after this.
What?
Yes. No.
You know, the town is set to be buzzing for something else. I just ran into the film festival director walking through Lee Park.
Jody Kielbasa.
And he was eagerly on his way to the downtown mall where I think he was going to try to catch the president.
Yeah.
And the film festival is set to kick off, you know, Thursday.
Yep.
Some of the stars include the famed director Peter Bogdanovich, who one of our reporters interviewed.
Talked to him last week on this program.
And you talked to him. I mean, he was very unsparing about the current state of cinema.
Oh, he's not happy about it.
Yeah.
He's not happy. He thinks it's all trash. And
he really does.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And then we were disappointed to hear that
How do you say that name? That's what I want to know.
Guillermo.
I was trying to say it earlier.
Guillermo. Guillermo del Toro has canceled.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. But frequent Charlottesville resident and UVA grad Tom Shadyac will be here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well known as the director of Ace Ventura. And
the very first event in the film festival is a documentary about the history of Circuit City, which began in Richmond.
I didn't know about this.
And it's Thursday night. Can't remember the time. Thursday evening.
Oh, interesting.
At Vinegar Hill.
Okay.
Thursday,
a documentary about Circuit City. Very interesting.
I met the guy in Richmond. I was down there speaking at a UVA club one time, and he walked up and said, hey, it's good to meet you, you know, and guess what I'm working on? So he emailed me a few weeks ago and said, it's done. I'm kicking off the film festival. So we're going to have him on next Wednesday to talk about it. It's an amazing story of this little local family business that just exploded and then crashed.
Yeah, you know, it was a presence all during my child and young adulthood before it flamed out in January of 2009. And anybody who lives in Charlottesville certainly remembers the
Circuit City at
Albemarle Square.
Yeah,
which I believe is temporarily a Halloween store, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, man. You got to hate that.
You know that big, there's like a big Halloween store that kind of moves into whatever empty big box has just gone belly up.
And there's a good one up in where the Blockbuster used to be at Rio Hill Shopping Center.
Oh, really?
That's the good one.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been to them all. And that is a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And also the party starts here, which is year-round party in costumes.
Yep.
We like that one too. Don't we? Yeah. That's
but
a good one.
Circuit City, I believe, was wiped out by what they call a category killer in the form of Best Buy.
And I will tell you, when they were both here in town, mm-hmm. I preferred the BB.
Well, you probably weren't alone
over
then.
The CC.
I see.
Yeah. Now, when the AA opens, I'll have to go to that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But did you find yourself, were you just buy stuff online, or would you go to the BB, the double B?
I usually just bought stuff there, although I've become kind of an online shopper.
For your electronics. Do you like that when you go into the double B and they sort of give you the, good day, how you doing?
They don't do that to me.
They don't?
They know I'm not really.
It must be something about me, but really like that.
Well, one thing Circuit City used to do, not to change the subject, but they used to be like, well, how would you like the 36-month extra warranty plan? No, you don't want that? How about the 24-month? Because, one thing goes wrong, and you're going to be really upset. Oh, okay. Well, we also offer the bronze level, which is obviously not as good as the silver or the gold, but you can find it if it goes, whatever.
Yeah.
No. What part of no do you not understand?
Just let me buy this and leave.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, especially with electronics, because I hate to say it, in a throwaway culture, and I'm not advocating throwing stuff away, but if, you know, a $99 electronic thing breaks...
You're not going to get that fixed.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's going to take you weeks or months and cost you more than you've paid for.
And the new one is going to have 10 more features.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's
good point. With digital cameras, it was insane there for a while. They were just advancing how much storage and how better the quality of the photo would be and how it would work in lower light with, it seemed like, weekly.
You know what else is going to be at the film festival a week from today, 10 a.m. a week from today at Newcomb Hall?
Yes.
Is the world premiere of Wahoo Wah, the film documentary history of UVA football.
Oh, yeah. You're big on all that Archer Christian dying
business. UVA helped create football as we know it. It's a little story most people don't know about.
Yep.
I'm actually in that movie.
Well, no wonder you're mentioning it, Coy.
So it's going to be fun. I will be there. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think the big news next week is the appearance of A Fine Frenzy.
Is that a movie?
That's a band, one of two big acts performing Tuesday night. One is called Dawes, which is kind of a Laurel Canyon sound band at the Jefferson Theater, but across town at...
Don't even know what that means. A Laurel Canyon sound
like
band.
The,
lost me.
Like the Yardbirds, I guess.
Okay.
But then at Old Cabell Hall, you're going to have A Fine Frenzy, which is basically just the name for this attractive piano player from the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about her last week. Mm-hmm. She's a cutie.
She's got a couple of minor hits, including Almost Lover, Blow Away, and You Picked Me, which The Corner, your sister radio station, has played a few times. What is all this Western music coming up? What's going on? Is it Bonanza or
no,
something?
No, this is West Wing. This is the theme song from West Wing.
But why are you playing it?
Because the president's
coming. Because the president.
There you go. Duh. Thank you, Hawes. Y'all have a great night. Enjoy your weekend.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.